This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We devote today's entire show to the Democratic primary and the race for the open seat on the Hamilton County Commission. The seat was held for nearly two decades by Democrat Todd Pertoon, who died in January after a long battle with cancer. In the primary, there are three women seeking to win a spot on the county commission: Price Hill advocate Kelly Prather and former state representatives Alicia Reese and Connie Pillich. Each of the candidates joined Cincinnati Edition for a one-on-one interview about their plans and their platforms. We start with our conversation with Price Hill advocate Kelly Prather, a survivor of gun violence who is making another run for elected office. Kelly, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm just so excited to share with the WVXU audience what my platform is for Hamilton County Commission.
Well, we're grateful that you could come in and talk to us along with the other candidates today. And let's just start with a very simple question. Who are you?
I, Kelly Prather, born and raised in the lovely city of Cincinnati, Ohio, proud product of the Cincinnati Public School System and Cincinnati Technical and Community College. I'm currently working on a PhD in public policy, very passionate about community-based issues, quality of life issues. I'm a social justice and civil rights advocate. I've transitioned from an activist to an advocate because I fight for the things that impact the everyday person's life: healthcare, transportation, justice, of course, because sadly, a lot of the systems that we have to deal with on a regular basis, you see a lot of injustice. And so I'm that person who will advocate for justice on multiple fronts, but just a person who loves people. I'm not a career politician or the party favorite, but I am the candidate for the people who will speak out for the people who feel hopeless and helpless and like they don't have a voice. So,
would you help me understand a little bit about those intricacies that you raised between activist and advocate? Because I've seen you described in other media reports as you're a Price Hill activist.
Yes.
What's the difference?
The activist is the person who is more aggressive, more upfront in your face, and less likely to want to sit down and negotiate a real deal that's going to be beneficial to the person who you're speaking up for. And the advocate is the person who is not as confrontational, the person who will sit down and say, hey, how can we create a win-win situation for the people and for the party who they are challenging regarding the issue?
Okay, so you previously have run for office. This isn't your first time running. You ran for the United States Senate.
Yes.
Not that long ago, not too many years ago. One of your opponents was City Councilman P.G. Sittenfeld, who was also looking for a promotion at that time. Both of you ultimately lost to former Governor Ted Strickland, who went on to lose the general election as well. But you got 13% of the vote against those two well-known politicians.
Yes, I got 13% of the vote here in Hamilton County. And that, to me, was extremely rewarding. And I think at that point, I got the political bug to be upfront. I've worked behind the scenes in politics pretty much all my life, for the past 25 years, all of my adult life. I'm not going to say the past 25 years as if I'm only 30. I'm 47 years old. But that race was very rewarding. That's where I garnered the respect of the Ohio Democratic Party. I was appointed to the 2016 Democratic National Convention as a Bernie Sanders delegate. So I'm supported by the Sanders campaign, which is rewarding. And so, yes, with that campaign, I threw my name in the hat 3 months prior to the primary election. I spent less than $5,000 and got 139,000 votes statewide. And so to me, that spoke to the need for change and that people wanted change. They were tired of standard status quo, more the same politics as usual. So,
well, you've got a similar dynamic this time, although the race is more localized. This is a Hamilton County Commission seat, not a statewide federal election.
Yes.
But you're running against a couple of established, well-known politicians. Yes. Both had served in the legislature, and Alicia Reese and Connie Pillich. They've both raised some money, and they both got advertising out there. You don't have as much.
Right.
So how are you planning to compete against these two more experienced local politicians?
Well, I mean, my grassroots efforts paid off since I ran for the United States Senate in 2016. People know who Kelly Prather is. I am the only candidate who is extremely engaged with the community on, again, multiple fronts. As far as campaign contributions, I have raised a lot of money, but the average person doesn't even have $1,000 in the bank. And so I understand that people have to pay rent, people have to pay car notes, people have to pay utility bills. And for me and so many other political candidates to ask for money, it would cause a hardship to them. And so for that reason, I've just been engaging with the everyday person, working from individual to individual, letting them know how Kelly having an advocate in that position would benefit them personally. And so they're respecting that.
So you mentioned Bernie Sanders, who is currently a presidential candidate again, and has set a pretty high standard for the way that grassroots activism can pay off, raising a lot of money through very small donations. Before we went on the air, you also referenced a similar grassroots and enthusiastic campaign by President Obama. And you also have a more localized inspiration, and it's someone that you hope to sit with on the Hamilton County Commission. That's Stephanie Dumas, who shocked the Democratic Party, winning the primary last time around, and then shocked the Republicans as well, knocking off an incumbent in Chris Monzel. Talk about how she has inspired the way that you're operating your campaign. She ran on a shoestring, a very low-key campaign, similar to how you're going about it now.
Yes, Commissioner Stephanie Dumas, she raised $13,000 totally. Now, as I indicated, or as you indicated, I'm an occupational therapist, and I have my own money, so I'm not depending on other people's money. Again, I'm not a career politician. I work full-time, and so most of these debates, I'm coming from work, and so that income is what I'm using because I'm passionate about investing in myself for this campaign so that I can be an asset to the future, to people who I really care about, and I think that it's going to be effective. Stephanie's campaign was It was amazing. She was not the endorsed candidate. James Wolf, who is the mayor of Mount Healthy, was the candidate. And I have a great deal of respect for him. But I knew that Stephanie would win because she was, I won't necessarily say aggressive, but she was extremely assertive and stating her case as far as wanting to be a representative for the people as well. So she's such an inspiration.
Around the turn of the century, I guess around 2004, you were a victim of violence, gun violence.
Yes.
What can you tell us about that and the way that it motivates the way you operate now?
Okay. During that time, you know, I was working full-time, in school full-time, was taking care of my mom full-time, and I was married to someone who just did not have the best character. But, you know, when you're overwhelmed and you're not able to look at, just focus solely on being a wife, you tend to overlook things and say, okay. And at the time as well, I worked at Summit Behavioral Healthcare as an occupational therapy assistant, and my patients were not guilty by reason of insanity or incompetence to stand trial. And so after working in that type of a setting, you start to normalize abnormal behaviors. And so I think that as a young, a newlywed, I was kind of blind to this person having serious issues. And so it made me want to advocate for individuals who work within mental health settings. It made me want to advocate for victims of gun violence. It made me want to support individuals who are in domestic violence situations to help them to understand the triggers. As Hamilton County Commissioner, I work closely with the Department of Jobs and Family Services. And a lot of times you see people who are in need of these type of services. And so given that experience, I can use this experience on so many different fronts, advocating for increased mental health services, not only for gun violence victims, but also those individuals who perpetrate these crimes, because hurt people hurt people. And I can also advocate for domestic violence survivors and their entire family and help them to understand some of the signals. And that's a public safety issue. And so I would be glad to represent the 49 municipalities, because violence is not just something that we see in one part of the county. It's in every part of the county. And, you know, if you're looking to make sure that people and the community is happy and healthy and whole, you have to want to focus on those issues and be real about your experience and use your experience to inspire and empower other people to come forward and say, hey, that happened to me too. And so how did you make it over? How did you survive that?
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. I'm joined now by Kelly Prather. She's one of three Democrats vying for that party's nomination in November's Hamilton County Commission race. The primary is March 17. She faces former state representatives Alicia Reese and Connie Pillage. If you are elected, Kelly, to the Hamilton County Commission, you will have many issues to face, and some of them are higher profile than others. I'd like you to talk a little bit about the county's relationship with the city, your assessment of it, and if you see areas where they can improve specifically, tell us.
The most pressing issue that I would like to address is housing. The city of Cincinnati has a 40,000 unit affordable housing shortage. Countywide, outside in the suburban areas, there's a 14,000 unit affordable housing shortage. Sadly, what I found out from research is that there are community block grants. The county does not work with the city in terms of offering money because they say Cincinnati is the largest city. They have their own pot of income. But given the fact that they have their own pot of income, yet we have such a high rate of homelessness and such a housing shortage, I want to work to ensure that some of the money that's available through the county, which is the county's budget, is more larger than the city's budget. I want to use some of that money to address housing so that we don't have such a huge homeless population. I also want to make sure that the county kind of oversees the development that's taking place throughout the city of Cincinnati, particularly as it relates to the TIF districts. And so we need to monitor that. The other thing I want to focus on is I want to look at the relationship of MSD, the relationship between the county and the city as it relates to MSD. The county owns MSD, but the city controls it. So we definitely need a system of checks and balances that we can hold the individuals who we are allowing to control the contracts accountable, hold them accountable. That's another issue. And then public safety. Now, I'm an independent Democrat, and most Democrats, they don't put public safety in the forefront. But again, being that I am a survivor of gun violence, a survivor of domestic violence, I know had it not been for the Newport Police Department at that time, I would probably be dead. And so, you know, I'm a huge advocate for first responders, police and fire and EMTs. And so those are some of the things I want to focus on. Also, I want a transparent government. I want people to know what resources are available. And I would love to have a countywide meet and greet occasionally, a quarterly countywide meet and greet where they can talk about what's important to them. They can see the resources that are available. They can see the jobs that are available, the contracts, so that we can really run our government the way that it's supposed to.
Well, let's talk about the banks on the riverfront, because that's an area where the county and the city have to work together in terms of moving that development along. There's a music venue coming, and then the stadium with the Bengals is involved, and moving a company offsite was involved during some of these negotiations. Mm-hmm. What was your assessment of the way that went down? What do you think should happen next?
What I think should happen next is until the Bengals or Paul Brown has to renegotiate their contract in 2026, I think we need to understand that we have no control over what's in place right now. I am a supporter of the Bengals. I'm a supporter of the Brown family. But sadly, the taxpayers are bearing the brunt of this contract that I was not a part of. And so ultimately, I would like to see a win-win for the team and for the city. And ultimately, you know, what we decide as a commission, we would want to do in the highest and best interest of the county. So I would definitely say, hey, we need to look at the sales tax. I think that we need to do away with that. The deal that Commissioner Todd Purtune negotiated prior to his transition, I thought was a good deal because it helped bring forth much needed repairs to Paul Brown Stadium. When people think about Paul Brown Stadium, they only think about the Bengals. However, that stadium is used for events like the music festival, the Cincinnati Music Festival. And so that was a public safety issue. So we want to make sure that it's structurally sound so that it's safe. And then in terms of the contract, I think at this point, all we can do is work towards a win-win situation. Encourage the Bengals to get support for the quarterback. The quarterback is one person, and they need an offensive line. you know, I thought it was interesting how they fired Andy Dalton, or they put him on, they benched him, and then they brought him back in. Andy Dalton is one person. And so whoever the quarterback will be this upcoming season, they need a more solid team, a team that's going to work together.
So you think the county commission should have a role in the front office up there in the Bengals organization then?
Right now, exactly. Yes, I do, because it's like...
But honestly, the Bengals record is a consideration for a lot of people as it relates to how much taxpayer investment should go into the organization in that stadium.
That's right.
So, I mean, is that something that you believe that if I mean, they're not winning playoff games and that sort of thing, that's something to consider?
Yeah, that's something to consider. We need to have a role in the front office and say, hey, you know, get your team together. Otherwise, you know, you may go because you have dedicated fans, dedicated tailgaters, which, you know, when you think about the fact that, the concrete company, is it?
Hilltop.
I was going to say Queensgate. They moved to Queensgate. Hilltop Concrete, they moved out of that area so that there could be a larger area for tailgaters. Respect the people who respect you. I mean, the Bengals need to do a better job of showing a return on investment. They can work with minority businesses. They can work with more schools. They can give back and they can draw more attention so that it would be more appealing to the voters. And so we wouldn't focus so much on that tax. But again, we do definitely need to get away with that, do away with the tax.
Well, honestly, quickly, because we were just about out of our allocated time that we're giving all the candidates, I want to know exactly how you think you can get rid of the sales tax that's associated with it.
Well, I think that we can get rid of the sales tax that's associated with it by investing in other ways outside the Bengals and showing a return on investment and having people buy into the Bengals State or to Paul Brown Stadium as a shareholder. So that's a way to get rid of the tax. And that's kind of what I was alluding to. So doing more networking and community-based events and getting more people to, again, be shareholders.
And would you have to put it up to the vote for the other people to say whether we're getting rid of the sales tax?
Yes, definitely put it up for the vote. I think that the voters need to have a stronger opinion in whatever goes on in, on the city level and the county level.
Kelly Prather is a Democratic candidate for the Hamilton County Commission seat. She faces fellow Democrats Alicia Reese and Connie Pillich in the March 17 primary. The winner of that race will go on to November. Kelly Prather, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with our preview of the Democratic primary for Hamilton County Commission. Connie Pillich served as a state legislator from Hamilton County and previously ran unsuccessful campaigns for state treasurer back in 2014 and then governor in 2018. She talked about her experience and her plans in this pre-recorded interview. Connie, thank you for being with us.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Well, we're starting this out with a very simple question. Who are you and why are you doing this?
Well, I am a suburban mom, raised two kids here in Cincinnati. I started my professional life in the Air Force. That's how I was able to pay for my education. And after active duty and after having my children, I became a public defender here in Cincinnati, later opened my own law firm, and eventually served in the state legislature. I got interested in the county commission about 8 or 10 years ago when Todd Portune started to talk to me about looking at a seat there. And I thought, well, someday I'll want to do that. But I never imagined I would be running for Todd's seat. So I'm running to carry on his legacy. I'm running because I have always been drawn to service, and I'm running because I want to work on infrastructure here in Cincinnati.
Well, when you talk about carrying on the late Todd Portune's legacy, what does that mean?
Todd was a man of unparalleled selfless service. He gave and gave and gave, and he always put the people of the county first. And he taught me that there is not a partisan way of being a commissioner. There is a way of having integrity, and that's what people want the most. And he taught me that you need to think about all parts of the county. And he also taught me that the county builds pathways to success for people who are struggling. Things like job access, clean water, working sewers, affordable housing, and avenues to homeownership, as well as health programs that protect expectant moms and fight infant mortality. Those things and many more can be the focus of the work of the county commission, but you need to have a servant leader to make any of those things happen. And I think that's one of the reasons Todd endorsed me to run for his seat, because he saw those qualities in me.
You'd previously run for state treasurer. You were unsuccessful in that race, and you briefly ran for governor as well. So you do have some experience in Columbus, where you served as a state legislator also. So did Alicia Reese, one of your opponents here in the primary, along with Price Hill advocate Kelly Prather. You both served as Ohio State representatives. You obviously represented different districts. Why do you think your experience in the district you served gives you an edge here in the messaging about this being a county race?
Well, I believe my service in the legislature is one thing that gives me an edge, but I also think my leadership training as an officer in the United States Air Force is a big thing that I bring to the table. I've got the best leadership training in the world. I learned to plan strategically, and I developed decision-making tools that I still use today. I think I've also served as a lawyer and as a public defender, and I understand how the law can help people and how it can hurt people. The county has dozens of contracts every year, and as a lawyer, I have written and evaluated and litigated over hundreds. So this is something that I also bring to the table. My service in the legislature, each legislator has her own style, and no legislator is an island. For anyone to claim they did something by themselves is just an embellishment. But what I wanted to do in the legislature is I wanted to help our veterans, protect our children, work on school funding, and try to protect the environment. And I was fortunate that I was able to work on all of those issues. One of the things I learned most in the legislature, besides the fact that no legislator is an island, is that the only way to get things done is by working with others. No matter what the party structure is, no matter what the political divide is, you can't do anything on your own. I think also my history of getting elected to the legislature is quite different. My district is all suburbs, and it had been in Republican hands for 38 of the last 40 years, and I was able to win it. I had a very spirited campaign with literally 300 volunteers. 2 years later, I beat back a challenge by the Cincinnati Tea Party founder. And then in 2012, after it was gerrymandered to make it 56% Republican, I worked really hard, and over the course of 18 months, I personally knocked on 24,000 doors, and my team knocked on 65,000 in addition to that. But I share that because, first of all, knocking doors in the suburbs is a lot harder than in the city because the doors are far apart, and the independent-minded doors are even further apart. But also, it shows that I have the focus and discipline for a very, very long and tough campaign. And if we want to win this seat, which I think we need to in order for our commission to be functioning, we need someone who can run a tough campaign, who can raise resources, and who can attract a broad array of voters. I've done all of that quite a few times.
You talked about a couple of things there that I want to follow up on. One, working with people in Columbus and getting to know the county and the city. And this is an area that we should explore, is the relationship between the Hamilton County government and the government of the city of Cincinnati. Sometimes it's smooth and functions as is designed, and sometimes it's a little rockier than that. Where are some areas that you see as potential improvement spaces within that relationship?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, the Metropolitan Sewer District, you know, we have 3,000 miles of sewer pipes, and many of them are broken, literally collapsed, or just unfunctioning. And because of that, sewage, raw sewage, backs up into about 1,000 homes every year. Millions of gallons have been dumped into our streams. I mean, it's a public health disaster, in my opinion. So we've had a very rocky relationship there over the last few years. But I have already been doing my homework there. I've met with Larry Falcons from the city, Jeff Aluto from the county, Marilyn Wall from the Sierra Club, as well as Diana Christie from MSD, because I'm doing my own research. I am not tethered to either the city or the county. I've always prided myself on being someone who does her own research, and I think law school helped with learning that you have to do that. But I'm doing my own research now so that I can be ready on day one. I'm going to bring a collaborative approach. I'm trained in collaborative law. I'm trained in how to bring people together to find a solution going forward that satisfies the interests of the people of the county. And that's something that has to be resolved because this is a disaster waiting to happen.
And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. I'm joined now by Connie Pillich, one of three Democrats seeking that party's nomination for the Hamilton County Commission. The election is on March 17th. Connie, if you're elected, what would you list as your top three priority areas?
Number one is infrastructure. That includes the sewers, of course, and I just talked about that. Number two is our roads. We have 500 miles of county-owned roads and 522 bridges, and the number one priority there is the Western Hills Western Hills Viaduct. And my third priority is fighting infant mortality. Hamilton County has the highest infant mortality rate in the state of Ohio, and it's among the worst 10% in the entire United States. And I've been talking about infant mortality since I first got involved in running for office back in 2006. Back then, Ohio was the second worst in the nation. We've improved to 11th, and part of the reason is because we're not succeeding here in Cincinnati.
We recently featured that topic on this program, and it did appear that the numbers are improving, or at least there are now newer programs that are designed to address that. What do you suggest that the city and the county should do in order to address infant mortality further?
Well, first, we have to protect expectant moms, make sure they get their prenatal visits, make sure they take their prenatal vitamins, make sure they develop the skills for healthy eating and healthy self-care. That's number one. Number two, we have to educate parents about safe sleep positions for their children. And I've raised two children, so I know that the advice has changed over the years, but we need to rely on the people who know, the experts, the scientific and medical experts who can help us protect our children. Most children who do not reach their first birthday, they die because of poor sleep positions. And it's not the parents' fault. It's because we haven't educated people. Parents do the best they can. They love their children, but we got to make sure that they have the best knowledge possible. Cradle Cincinnati is a good step. The Nurse Family Partnership is a good step. But making sure that our health clinics, our federally qualified health clinics, as well as those other opportunities such as Planned Parenthood, can help teach these young women about the best ways to be a successful mom.
Let's talk a little bit about riverfront development and some of the other items that are already on the riverfront and how they may impact the processes as they play out in the Hamilton County Commission. The Bengals in the stadium and the Banks Music Venue have been discussed a lot over the past year or so, maybe a little longer than that. Let's start with the music venue situation, how that all played out. I'd like to hear your assessment of how it ultimately ended up, how you would have behaved as an elected official in that realm while it was going on, and if you think there's anything that needs to come out on the other side of it.
Well, the music venue is an extension of the development of the Banks. And if you were here 20 years ago and you looked at that area between the ballpark and the stadium, there was really nothing there. And now it's a fabulous gateway to the city. It's a vibrant venue of shops and housing and business. And it's a good start to utilizing that space for the benefit of our county. So the music venue, which is going to be close to the Bengals Stadium, is the next step in this long-term strategic plan for developing that part of our community. So I do agree with the work that Todd Portune did to broker a deal. This was one of those subjects of a lot of kerfluffle between the county and the city. Todd Portune, whose legacy is evident in his ability to think long-term and plan and bring people together, brokered this deal because we wanted to use that land. There was a concrete company there, and the Bengals really wanted to get an extra tailgating lot. So Todd Portune went in, and he made a deal. We get to develop the music venue. It will bring people down to the Banks, especially near the stadium, on non-games days, which is a great boost to our economy. The concrete company that's there currently gets to relocate, and the Bengals get to have a tailgating lot. Now, the best thing about this is that the Bengals give up $30 million that they expected to receive from the county. And in exchange, we have to pay $10 million in some maintenance costs. So we have $20 million to our benefit. So this doesn't cost the taxpayers a penny. And I know that some media outlets have greatly misconstrued what actually happened. But if they would read the fine print, that they would see that Todd Portune brokered a wonderful deal for us. So yes, I would support that.
Well, we talked about the relationship between the county government and the city government and how that could possibly be improved in some areas. What about the relationship between the county government and the Cincinnati Bengals as it relates to that stadium that was paid for here by the taxpayers? Talk about that and where you see areas for improvement there.
Well, I think the current relationship between the county and the Bengals is a little bit precarious. I'm really, really glad that the Bengals stepped up and put up that $30 million to help improve the region, those lots directly surrounding the stadium. But there are some other areas. You know, back in 1996 when Bob Bettinghouse made that deal and he sold us a bill of goods. He promised that the sales tax paying for the stadium would have an end date, and he promised us a property tax rollback. But both of those things, those really important things that drove us to the polls, weren't included in the ballot language. So they're really just optional. And, of course, we all know that Bob Bettinghaus then took a job with the Bengals and just retired recently from there. So he got his reward. I don't think the Bengals will be offering me anything because I'm not a transactional elected official. I've just never been that way. But what I see coming forward is that I'm going to introduce a resolution to put an end date on these payments to the Bengals. And we'll use that as a negotiating arm. I think it would be a huge piece of leverage for us to figure out a more successful and appropriate deal going forward.
A resolution isn't necessarily binding, though, right? It's more of a position statement.
Well, it just depends. We don't write laws at the county commission, but we do determine where money is spent. So in that respect, it can be binding, yes.
Connie Pillich is one of three candidates running for the Democratic nomination in the Hamilton County Commission. Primary election is March 17. That's a Tuesday, of course. She faces fellow Democrats Alicia Reese and Kelly Prather. Connie, thank you so much for your time today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with our full hour look at the three Democratic women seeking that party's nomination in the race for Hamilton County Commission. Alicia Reese is a longtime familiar face in local politics. She served on Cincinnati City Council and as a state representative. She also worked for a state tourism agency. In this pre-recorded interview, Reese talks about why she is looking to return to elected office. Alicia Reese, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure to have you. Listen, people are pretty well familiar with you in the Cincinnati area. You've served on the Cincinnati City Council for a number of years. You served in the state legislature, the state house for a number of years. But what are you doing now?
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, my background is in marketing, so I'm a marketing consultant, and I also host a radio podcast called Alicia Reese Soul Food, which is a lot of fun. But my background's in marketing, consulting, and community development.
And yeah. Now you're looking to get back into government, the politics game, and why?
You know, I think the time is right. We're going into a new decade, and certainly what direction will our county go? And a world that will be of one of new technology. And then there's so many people that I've talked to throughout the county who are just, you know, every day wondering, you know, how I'm going to make it, how I'm going to make these ends meet. Will I be able to pay my rent or my mortgage? Will it be affordable for me to live here? My health care, what's going to happen with that? And so, you know, most people can't afford a $400 something that they didn't expect to happen. People are, you know, concerned about being, you know, retired. Will there be a lot of issues that would affect our county? And so I think that with the experience that I've had, both at the city level, being elected citywide for several terms, and then the vice mayor, then also being a state representative for four terms, and also being in the state house, people don't realize I was out of politics for 5 years. And then I also was the deputy director of tourism for the whole state. So my job was to sell Ohio at a very tough time. We were able to bring in almost $100 million of economic impact. So I know what it means to be around in the tough times, but then how do we start making these investments for the future, but making sure that it's going to be a place where you can live, work, raise your family, a place where those who go to college will not want to leave here and go other places, use their talents right here. And so, and also at a time when the city and the county have some difficulties working together. And so I think I would be the bridge because I understand the city of Cincinnati is in Hamilton County. It's not a separate entity. But I also understand how to have that bridge. I've been able to get things done. I can work across party lines. I've shown that at the state house when I've been in the minority, being able to bring money back to have the only state new transportation infrastructure project in the entire state right here in Hamilton County, the I-71 new highway exit called MLK that connects to hospitals and universities and creates a whole new innovation corridor. So I know how to get things done. I know how to work across party lines. But most importantly, have a vision for the future, a new decade, and how do we become the number one county in America?
You started to touch on an issue I wanted to raise with you anyway, and that is the relationship between the county government and the city government. They're literally intertwined in many ways, and then often at odds at each other when it comes to those issues. Why don't you tell me, I know any of us who pay attention to the media know the answer to this in a lot of ways, but from your perspective, as someone who's seeking this office, what do you see as the biggest areas where these two governments are struggling to reconcile differences or to create progress together?
Yeah. Well, first of all, the way a lot of projects are financed and funded through tax credits, et cetera, you really can't have any major type of deal done without having cooperation with both, if it's going to happen within the city, having both the cooperation of the city and the county. And I think one of the things that I bring is having the ability to have look at it from both perspectives and look at the taxpayers and put the taxpayers first, but understanding it's no such thing as a city versus county. So when you go in, it's very important. There's some areas, for example, MSD is an area that right now that has an impasse. They're in court right now, but that is a multi-layer issue because what happens is you have city workers who work for MSD and also county workers, but they're on two different pension systems. You have the city pension heavily dependent upon the MSD AFSCME workers. And so now we've got a whole group of people who have retired, paid their money into the pension that could be at risk. So when you come in and make a fix, you've got to look at, we're dealing with pensions, we're dealing, and that creates a whole nother problem. Because if people, you know, lose their pensions, they lose their homes, they're not able to put money into the economy. And quite frankly, they work their butt off and they deserve it. So you have a pension issue. You have issue dealing with also, you know, what's going to happen with the ratepayers and how do we move forward with that? And so I think having the endorsements that I have of all of the current mayor, Mayor John Cranley, and the former mayors, whether it's David Mann, who's on the Finance Committee, whether it's Charlie Lucan, who's the head of the Port Authority now, or former Mayor Mark Mallory, but also having endorsements of mayors in the county as well, Lincoln Heights and Woodlawn and other areas. So I think that that's where I kind of bring that perspective, making sure that local municipalities don't feel like we're just coming in and forcing them to do something versus we're coming together with an overall plan of how do we move this forward. And I think that's what, you know, as I'm out campaigning throughout the county, that's what people want to hear. They don't want to hear about we're just fighting about something. They want people who have relationships and people who can get things done. And I have relationships because I've worked with a lot of people, both at the city level, both at the other municipalities that's been in my district. And I've also worked at the state level. And this issue requires kind of all three coming to the table. And I think I'm the best person to bring those different factions to the table and get something done, because that's all I want to do is be able to get something done for the people.
You noted some of your endorsements there, and you are running against another well-known local politician in Connie Pillich, who has also served in the state legislature. You're running against Price Hill activist Kelly Prather. Can you tell us specifically why you're a better choice than those two?
Well, I have a lot of experience. I have over 20 years experience. I've got diverse experience. I come through civil rights. I am one that has been always connected and close to the people. But also I've been in rooms where I've had to negotiate. I've had to negotiate with a Republican governor and try to get a highway infrastructure project done. So as we talk about the Western Hills Viaduct, I've done a project like that. I've been on the state finance committee. I haven't just been a state representative. I've been on the state finance committee, even though I've been in my minority, but I've been on that for 8 years. I've been on the city's finance committee for 6 years and was able to balance the budget without laying anyone off. And so with all of those experiences that I have with contacts, experience, and connection to people, I've also represented all of Cincinnati, and I've represented parts of the county. And I'm the only candidate who has been elected who has actually done that. I've represented, in addition to the city of Norwood and Deer Park and Arlington Heights and Woodlawn, Lincoln Heights.
Those were part of your legislative district.
Yeah, Springfield Township, one of the largest townships in the county. I've represented Edgemont and all those areas. So I've had diverse municipality experience that I've had to deal with both city and county. I've been the deputy director of tourism where I had to market both urban Ohio and rural Ohio. I went to all 88 counties and was able to bring together one of the top marketing programs that brought economic impact to our state. So I've always had to deal with diverse thoughts, diverse folks, people from different parties. But most importantly, I've been able to get something done. I've been able to, at the city level, we had the Covicha Center expansion. We had to bring the state, we had to bring the county, we had to get the city, we had to get the hotel association, all on one accord. And I was the vice mayor then and worked on that. So my experience and my ability to get things done, I think makes me the best candidate for this particular time, and also one who has a vision and has contacts to be able to bring more resources back from Columbus to Cincinnati, through the county, to the municipalities.
So one of the areas that the county and the city work together on is the Banks Project and that development down there. It's bookended by the Bengals Stadium on one side and their major players and how things proceed at that site. And, you know, there's this sales tax, of course, that supports that stadium. And I'm wondering how you perceive any type of forthcoming negotiations on that stadium tax and whether you have any concerns at all about whether the Bengals up and leave at some point.
You know, that's critical because the next person that will be elected, the next county commission, this is going to be a big piece that they're going to have to deal with. And one of the things that I've been hearing from citizens all throughout the county is a concern with that deal. Many feel that that was just a bad deal. And it left a bad taste in their mouth. Now, let me say, first of all, I am a huge Bengal fan. I've been a diehard Bengal fan from, you know, our good days and our not so good days. But putting that to the side, as a commissioner, I have to sit at the table and look at it from a business perspective. And one of the things we've got to get is a better deal. And I think that I'm the best person for that. I've also said that any new deal, any change in a deal, must go before the voters. Voters want to have another opportunity to make that decision. Now, I also believe that we have given away one of our negotiating chips already, because the deal was to end in 2026. And with the music venue, which I support the music venue, I just think it should have been in a different location so it would not have triggered the Bengals having to convolute the deal. And because they are in the deal, they ended up getting the taxpayers on the hook to 2036 with no guarantee of a tenant. Okay, so 2036 has already been agreed, another 10 years of fixing up an old stadium that has not guaranteed us having a tenant. And so I don't think that that is a good deal. And I think that one of the things with me being down there, we've got to get a better deal. I'm going to be very clear. We've got to get a better deal. And that deal must be transparent and must go to the taxpayers. And the taxpayers will make that that decision. And so I'm hopeful. It's just like, you know, you go refinance your home. You want to get a better deal. You want to get a lower rate. You want to get all these different things. But you got to fill out an application and paperwork. And I think that the same way with anything that changes from the original deal that the Bengals has should and must go back to the voters and allow them to have a say. Because at the end of the day, the voters are the investors. It's like any company. If I go present to the investors or the stockholders, I've got to convince them that this is a good deal, and they'll have an opportunity to vote on it. And I think the voters in this regard, they're the investors, they're the stockholders, and they should have the final say on any deal.
The seat you're looking to fill was previously occupied by Todd Fortune, who passed away not long ago after a long battle with cancer. And he sort of looms over this race in a lot of ways. He was very well liked. And I'm wondering how you navigate that situation, because he didn't endorse you necessarily, right? So what was your relationship like with him? And is there any sort of inspiration that you've taken from him, regardless of, I guess, any political differences here and there?
Yeah. Well, Todd Fortune and certainly what he has gone through. We served together on Cincinnati City Council and worked together on a lot of things. He was my mother, people may or may not know, my mother had MS and cancer, so she was in a wheelchair fighting cancer for 12 years. And so Todd Fortune came a lot to our family banquet hall, and she campaigned for him, and they had a special bond, and our family has special bond. So our relationship with Todd Fortune has been one that's been positive. My family has supported him. I've supported him. I've worked with him. I think in this race, as we move forward, this, you know, as we go into a new decade, one of the things I know he's always been one that has been visionary. And as I'm moving forward in this race, we're moving with a vision. And I'm so happy to have worked with him and worked on a lot of projects with him. But I'm also happy to have a lot of the endorsements that I have, whether it's labor. And that's one of the things about Todd Bertuni. He always had a coalition of folks that supported him. And my campaign has a strong coalition of people from labor, working men and women, all the way to mayors, both in the city and in the county, to African-American leaders and clergy, to, you know, I've got the president of the Women's Political Caucus supporting me. So he was, what I learned from him, he was always a coalition builder, and he was able to work across party lines when necessary without giving up what he believed in. And that's what I take, and that's what I have been able to do, and that's what I'm hoping to bring to this seat, being able to be a coalition builder, as I've always been, being able to stand up for people and not give up what my core values are, but being able to also work across the lines. Because at the end of the day, one of the things he always said, it's time, we've got to get things done. And that's what I do. And that's how I feel like I will help continue the work that he has talked about. And you can't get it done without having coalitions. And that's what I've been doing.
Alicia Reese is a Democratic candidate for Hamilton County Commission, one of three. Alicia Reese, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.